He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
It is the December 13th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. But I'm coming to you today from Charleston, the Charleston, South Carolina office.
How's the weather down there?
The weather is like San Diego. Right. I swear this is San Diego East out here, maybe 60 degrees. The water is blue. I think the fish are biting, so we'll see. Maybe we'll get out and do a little fishing in the afternoon. And got a pretty good start to the market. I can't complain. Can you complain too much there? Steven is in the Carlsbad studios. He's in
no, everything
the south.
Everything looks good in the market today.
Yeah, I mean, everything looks green here. We've got the Dow up 69 points right now, 24,574. We've got the S&P up 5 to 2,669. We've got the NASDAQ up 25 points. It's the leader today. We're getting a little bit of a bounce in the technology stocks. We're at 6,885 on the NASDAQ. The small cap stocks are booming today. The small caps are up 0.6%. We're at 1,525 on those small caps who are begging for tax relief. We also have crude oil up 6 cents to $57.20 per barrel. Gold is up $3.80 to $12.45. Silver is up 48 cents to 15.63. And last but not least, let's look at the bond market. It's flat today. It is at 2.38% on the morning. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. That's where the headquarters are. I am in Charleston, South Carolina, about as far away from San Diego as one can get. We were in Boston just a few days ago, so the Gunder Wonder Tour continues across the U.S. as we barnstorm throughout the U.S. I'll be meeting with people back here in the Florida area, maybe in the Atlanta area, while I'm here for the next couple of weeks. I thought maybe, Stephen, as I saw last night, the election results come in.
Yeah.
I thought that the folks might say, you know what, that's the end of the Trump agenda. You know how that goes. We've seen that dynamic before. But it does not seem to be impacting the market here today whatsoever. That was a tight one. I was watching the results come in on the airplane as we came in. And it was neck and neck all the way. It seemed like Roy Moore had a lead most of the night. And in the end, it was Jones. Doug Jones? Doug Jones will be the new
Doug
senator
Jones.
From Alabama. And he'll be replacing Jeffrey Sessions. Jeff Sessions, who's our new attorney general. And Roy Moore is out of a job, I guess. Judge Roy Moore failed in his bid.
He's still fighting the results, isn't he?
I don't know. I guess so, because it was tight. It was.
Yeah, he said he's not backing down yet.
Well, okay. Well, well, maybe we'll get a hanging Chad situation. Bring in the Chad people, and let's see what happened there. We've got the Fed meeting today. You know, they're expected to raise interest rates. Or what would that be? I think the third time here in 2017, and they're looking to raise rates another three or four times in 2018. I made a bold prediction yesterday. You got a pen there, Stephen? Do we have our whiteboard, or do we have something? We can write down Bill Gunderson's first prediction for 2018.
The bond market,
okay, the bond market will finish negative for 2018. That's prediction number one.
All right.
Prediction number two is the Chargers will make the playoffs now that we don't want the Chargers. Now that we don't want the Chargers.
They'll win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they'll win. No, I'm not going to go out on a limb like that.
Oh, gosh.
How about the Yankees with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton? They'll hit more home runs than Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig hit in 1927.
That's
well,
possible.
Anyways, we've got the Jones winning Alabama. The market does not even seem to care one single solitary bit. We've got the Fed more than likely going to raise interest rates today by a quarter of a point. The market doesn't seem to care one single solitary bit. Apparently, the GOP negotiators have reached a tentative agreement to raise the corporate tax in their joint House Senate bill from 20% to 21%.
And the market doesn't
seem to care one single solitary bit. And they're also talking about now lowering the top individual rate from 39.6 down to 37. So we'll see. That's where we stand right now. Yesterday we had a hotter than normal producer price index print, which kind of raised the prospects for inflation a little bit. I saw the 10-year move up to 2.40. Today it's moving back to 2.38 as the CPI. Now that's the consumer price index. That's based on everything the average person doesn't buy at the supermarket and whatnot. I think gasoline prices have been the biggest hit to the consumer over the last month. But core inflation rose just 0.1%. So there still seems to be a total lack of inflation, unless you're buying bacon. You know, it's the price of bacon lately, how it just keeps going up.
Yeah, and, it's worth it, though.
And T-bone steaks. You know,
yeah.
Do they count that in the CPI? And how about Disneyland tickets? Do they count that in the CPI?
They have to. Come on.
Hot dogs at the ball game. Do they count that at the CPI when you're paying $6 at the ball game for a hot dog? Anyways, China's economy to slow in 2018. Now, what's slow for China? All right, we're growing at about we're hoping for 2.5% this year. Of course, the Trump people are hoping for more like 3.5 to 4. I can tell you this, as I look across Charleston, you know, we got picked up by an Uber driver last night at midnight. He was just getting off work from Boeing.
Huh.
He works the night shift. Boeing is so busy. They're working 24-hour shifts, I want to say. And he showed us they have a Dreamliner on the runway at the Boeing plant. And all of the land around the Charleston airport is now owned by Boeing.
Wow.
You know, South Carolina, I believe under Nikki Haley, made a giant pitch to get Boeing here. And they have a lot of employees here in brand spanking new plants, building the Dreamliner. And building he told me the A-10, I want to say, or the D-10. They just got a big order from the United Arab Emirates for 40 planes. So they're working around the clock at Boeing. In addition to that, Geely Automotive is building a big plant here in Charleston. And people are moving in. And as I look out across the skyline here in Charleston, there's building going on everywhere. They're redeveloping the downtown area. They're putting in apartments. They're putting in shopping centers. They've got to house all of these workers. So there's a booming economy here. But China, on the other hand, they're only going to grow by 6.8%.
Oh, only?
Year. Yeah, maybe by the end of the year, they'll drop down to 6.4%. Well, that would be the slowest pace since 1990 for poor China, according to the World Bank. Hey, we had the same kind of pattern going on yesterday as I went through my database. Before I left on my trip here, caught the plane, I was able to get through the entire database. We made two purchases yesterday, or one purchase, and a couple of sells, and I'm seeing the same kind of pattern going on.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some big upgrades to the financials. And when we come back, I want to talk about a couple of financials that are in the news today, one that involves us quite heavily. And I also want to talk a little bit, well, you have to mention Bitcoin on a daily basis.
Did you see the chart of GBTC today?
Do I want to see the chart of GBTC today?
Maybe, if you own it, you do.
Is it like the chart of the New York Yankees? Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
2,490. What was it yesterday? 1,800.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. This is Bill Gunderson. Stephen Gunderson. It's the Bitcoin Show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we have to talk about Bitcoin. Stephen mentioned as we went into the break, the Bitcoin ETF, which is GBTC. And maybe, Stephen, you can give us the current ranking in the Best Stocks Now app. I remember when it was one or two there for a while.
Yeah.
And I just can't bring myself to doing it. Even the Uber driver last night, what do you know about Bitcoin? he works for Boeing.
It's the talk of the town.
He's an assembler. He assembles the tail end part of the airplanes at Boeing. He's all about Bitcoin. You know, that's trouble. I know that's trouble. I just feel trouble in the air. But at the same time, look at GBTC again today. It's hitting 2,400. How much is it up today? If that's not a bubble, I don't know what is. It's up 9%. And yesterday it had a huge day as those options futures started trading.
Yep.
GBTC started the year at about $150 per share, and it's now $2,480 per share. Can you say 2,250% rise?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's insanity. And now you've got the SEC warning. Now, just for fun, check out your... Well, what is GBTC ranked in the app today?
It's number 562.
I'm surprised that it's not higher than that. But
yeah.
I plugged in a pretty high risk factor, which brings that score down.
Yeah, and there's not much history to it.
No, short history. I mean, it came public last year at $86 a share. Okay, number two, check out your Coinbase app. And what's the other one? Litecoin.
And
Ethereum.
Bitcoin's trading at $17,458 right now.
Holy cow.
And Litecoin is at $335.
How much is it up today?
It's actually down 8%.
Ouch. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't buy it. You told me to buy it yesterday.
Yeah, it's a long-term investment.
Yeah, he didn't tell me to buy it.
If you have money to throw around, yeah. Sure,
and how's Ethereum doing?
Ethereum's up 28%.
28%?
Yeah.
Now, that's the one I said to buy, right?
It's at 762.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, these things keep getting more and more credibility. Now you've got David Marcus, who runs Messenger at Facebook. Do you ever message people on Facebook?
Back when I used to have Facebook.
All right. Yeah, I don't have Facebook either. David Marcus was also the president of PayPal. You ever hear of them?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, okay, we own PayPal. And by the way, PayPal's having quite a nice day today. I don't know if you've noticed that, but PayPal got a big upgrade today. And we do own PayPal. I use PayPal on the airplane to pay for my GoGo in-flight wireless internet last night. So I use PayPal a lot. And, of course, all of our our subscriptions and whatnot come through PayPal. Well, anyways, Facebook's David Marcus, big-time guy, is now joining the board of directors of Coinbase, okay? Now, this is the app that you're looking at, correct?
Yeah, you can buy and sell Bitcoin and Litecoin and Ethereum through it.
And guess what the most downloaded app in the universe is?
Right? Yep, it's Coinbase.
And people listening to this show are right now headed for their App Store or their Google Play Store and downloading the Coinbase app. Well, apparently Coinbase is going to go public at some point because they kind of have a symbol, but it is a private stock. And I also wanted to mention another private stock because I got some insight yesterday. Yesterday I had two different Uber drivers, one from our house to the San Diego airport, and then one from the Charleston airport to our residence here in Charleston. Well, I asked him, what is the percentage of, because the one guy, he worked for Lyft and Uber, the two big ones. I said, what percentage of Lyft calls do you get versus Uber calls? He said Uber is about 10 to 1.
Whoa.
And so that tells me, you know how there's just not room for a second fiddle? It seems like when one person, look at Amazon. Who would you even say is second to Amazon? There is nobody, right?
Yeah, no.
Anybody that, I mean, there's niche players that specialize in something. But Amazon dominates the world. And when it comes to search engines, does anybody use Bing? Does anybody use Yahoo? I mean, everybody Googles. That's become a verb.
Yeah.
So it just seems to me that when everything shakes out and at some point in time Uber goes public, the best way to get exposure to Uber today is through SoftBank, S-F-T-B-Y, out of Japan, because they own 20% of Uber. But Uber's valuation got hit pretty hard with all of the allegations against Kalanick, the CEO. And the only thing I could say about Lyft, here's what the driver told me. He said Uber goes into a city and spends tons of money clearing all the hurdles, right? Getting rid of all the obstacles, getting favorable treatment and, you know, the blessings of the city and whatnot. And once that's done, once Uber has cleared everything, then Lyft comes along and takes about 10% of the market. That's what they have. And Uber has about 90% of the market. So something to think about. I got to believe that when Uber goes public, that's going to be one of the biggest IPOs of all time.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot one.
I mean, as of right now, there are no plans for Uber to go public, at least. But I think maybe in 2018, we will see the IPO of Uber, which would be UBER. Now, I want to teach a little lesson here. We have been with Scottrade since 2006, and the Scottrade was a privately held company. And I have met Roger Riney, who was the guy who started Scottrade and who owns Scottrade. And Roger Riney, about 9 months ago, something like that, accepted an offer. I mean, we always knew he was shopping Scottrade. We always kind of knew that. And Ameritrade came along and was the biggest bidder for Scottrade. And I don't know what the final price was, a couple of billion dollars for Roger Riney, the Roger Riney Foundation. Well, today, Roger Riney is cashing in. And if you look at Ameritrade stock, AMTD, you see massive volume, number one.
Oh, yeah.
And you see the stock down 2%. That is Roger Riney, the Roger Riney Family Trust, selling their 27 million shares at $51 per share, okay? I'd like to be the broker handle on that trade.
Yeah, wow.
And so that is a secondary offering. Goldman Sachs is the underwriter. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about these secondary offerings and what they mean to the primary shareholders, all right?
All right.
Little lesson. Come back. And the best stocks now. Bill Denton. I'll stop joking. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We got a pretty good day going on in the market today. A couple other stories here. I want to do one quick story here, then I want to get into two of our favorite Best Stocks Now at the current time. There's only two ways for a company to raise money. Let's think about Elon Musk for a minute, who is probably the most talked about CEO. He has pretty much replaced Steve Jobs as the stock market god out there, who can do no wrong. And of course, his semi trucks have created quite a stir and have given the stock quite a lift. I don't know what. Let's take a look and see what Tesla is doing today. Tesla was breaking out yesterday.
It's up a little bit today.
Yeah, that's a good-looking chart, but I don't know. To me, Tesla and Bitcoin, for this old-timer that's been around over two decades in the market, both of them scare me. But the only way that Musk has to raise money in a company, you can do it one of two ways. You can borrow money, which he did. He floated some bonds and took on some debt. And had to pay a pretty hefty price, probably not as much as a company in the shape that Tesla is in would normally have to pay because of the popularity of the stock. But he still had to, and you know, he's got a heavy debt load. He's got a 126% debt-to-equity load, and he's losing money for the last 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Oof. And for that reason, you know, half of my work is valuation. You know that, Stephen. And the other half is momentum and performance. And, you know, look, Tesla's had the performance. It's relative strength of 81. I mean, this was a $14 stock in 2010. It's a $342 stock. But it's kind of been mired in that area now for, what, 9 months?
Right.
6 months at least. The only way that Elon Musk has to raise money is A, borrow money and increase the debt load. And after a while, people become a little reluctant to loan you money. And number two is to float more shares. And that's what Bluebird is doing today. You know, when Bluebird got that big jump the other day on good news on their on one of their drugs for advanced myeloma, Bluebird took advantage of that opportunity to float more shares. In fact, they offered a secondary offering of 3.2 million shares at $185 per share. Well, that brings in a lot of money to the coffers over there at Bluebird. But the existing shareholders who have shares, Stephen, you're a baseball card trader, and you understand the baseball card market. There's only so many Honus Wagners out there, right?
Right.
And if all of a sudden they found some shoebox, probably mine, probably the shoebox that my mother threw away while I was in college, probably had 5 Honus Wagner cards in it that nobody knew about, right?
Right, yeah.
If all of a sudden there's 12 Honus Wagner cards, when there used to be one, what does that do to the value of that Honus Wagner card?
It dilutes the market, so it makes the price go down.
Absolutely. And so a secondary offering, well, it may be good for the company. All of a sudden, they've got a big check in their coffers, in their savings, in their checking account. It dilutes the existing shareholders. And you know, that's what Musk keeps doing with Tesla. And these biotechs do it all the time. They continue to float more and more shares. Now, think about why. Not only does it dilute the owners because there's more shares out there, but if a company is going to make, let's say, $1 per share, okay, let's say they're going to make $1 million, and there's 1 million shares, and so that would be $1 per share. Now, let's say they float another 500,000 shares. Now there's 1.5 million shares outstanding. What happens when you take that same $100 million and now you divide it by 150 million, their earnings per share went down to 70 cents, correct?
Right.
And if you're using a 20 multiple on the stock, you went from a $20 stock down to a $14 stock. Just like that, the value of the company goes down when a company floats more shares because it decreases the earnings per share. Now, conversely, we've had the opposite happening in the market over the last several years where companies have been buying their shares back. They cannot find a better use for their cash than to buy back their own shares. Well, that takes shares off of the market. That makes the denominator in the equation a smaller number. And when the numerator remains the same and the denominator goes down, you get an increase in the earnings per share. So a lot of the growth that you've seen in earnings for companies, not a lot of it, but a portion of it, a goodly portion of it, has been caused by share buybacks. And so I just want the average investor out there to understand, is it a good thing when a company does a secondary offering? No. I've seen companies that ended up with 5 gazillion shares, right? That's how they survive. But good companies, in fact, the Boeing employee that gave us the ride home last night, he gets off work at midnight and he picks up people on his way home, make a little extra money. And he was asking me, he says, what do you think of Boeing stock? When I started at Boeing, it was $60 a share.
Wow.
can you look up my 5-year target price right now on BA?
Yeah.
I said, Boeing's going higher.
He said, we have a 5-year target price of $475.
And where's it at today?
293.
Okay, Boeing's at 293 today. I say it's going to 475. He says, well, I don't know anything about the stock market. Why do you think it's going to continue to go higher? I said, well, you know what? I learned most of the math I learned by the sixth grade, and I know how to multiply. That's all it is this number times this number equals this number. I said, if you take a look at Boeing and where they're at today with their earnings, which next year they're expected to make $11.09, what is Boeing's expected growth rate going forward over the next 5 years? 15%, something like that, Stephen? Pretty good.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, almost 15%.
Okay, now so we're going to extrapolate those earnings out. That's just math. That's just multiplication. It's going to be $11 next year. Add 15% to that the following year. You're at $12.50. Add another 15% to the next year. You're at $13.72. And on and on and on for 5 years. And we're going to say, well, Boeing's been trading at a multiple in the 20 area for quite some time. Maybe a little premium now because stocks are the place to be and interest rates are low. Well, doggone it, that's just multiplication. I said, Boeing's worth, I think it's going to $350, $400. He said, okay, I won't sell my shares. Thank you. You know, otherwise, like him, the average investor is flying blind. Is that a true statement to make? I would say 80% of the individual investors out there are flying blind. They don't know why stocks go up. They don't know why stocks stay the same, and they don't know why stocks go down.
Yeah, they just know the company and they put money into it.
Exactly. And in the end, it comes down to a very simple formula, which will apply to PayPal in the final quarter of the show when we come back. It comes down to a very simple formula. Not only does it apply to individual stocks like Boeing, let's not forget that Boeing is a major component of the Dow. Why was the Dow up yesterday 100 points?
Yeah.
Because of Boeing.
Well, Boeing's up another 1.5% today.
Yeah, and that's and isn't the Dow up like 100 points right now?
112, like yep.
Let's go. A lot of that is Boeing. Here's a phrase to remember. Here's Bill Gunderson's axiom. It's like E equals MC squared, Einstein, right? Stocks follow earnings. You know, I'm here in South Carolina. They're known for redfish. I want to catch a redfish while I'm here. Those redfish follow bait. And if you know the pattern of the bait, you know the pattern of the fish. And in the market, if you know the pattern of the earnings, you know the pattern of the stock and the index. Let's talk about PayPal. This is Gunderson and Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Because this is a live, living, breathing show, and the market is active while we are doing. I really like doing the show at this time of day because, Stephen, we get to catch the market's been open for a half an hour, right? Is that true? Half an hour? Yeah, when we start the show.
Right.
And then, of course, it's open the whole time that we're doing the show, and I'm looking at stocks and working my way through the database. This is a I'm on a working, I'm managing money while I'm doing the show at the same time. I wear headphones, so my hands are free and I can do things. I decided to change course. I like PayPal a lot. I was going to feature PayPal. It's getting a major upgrade today. But instead, I landed on a stock here early on in my database. This is one of the best breakouts I've seen in a long time. Pull up A, B, B, V, which is ABV.
That's right.
You see that chart today?
That looks nice.
That's what we call in our business a fresh one.
Yes.
In the fishing business, if you're all fishing on the back and nobody's getting anything and you're out in the middle of the ocean, and all of a sudden, one of the guy's reels start to scream, and his rod goes bendo. You know what everybody yells?
Hook up.
A fresh one in the corner. That's a fresh one. Hook up. Well, that's a fresh breakout on ABV today. Now, when I was coming home from Boston back to San Diego, I was next to a gentleman who worked for Abbott Labs in San Diego. And ABV was spun off by Abbott Labs back in 2013. ABV is a $157 billion company headquartered in Chicago. That's where Abbott Labs is headquartered. ABV is probably best known for Humira, the drug that treats rheumatoid arthritis. A lot of people take Humira. But they also have quite a good pipeline of other drugs for psoriasis, Crohn's disease, et cetera. That stock is breaking out today. We own that stock in our income and growth portfolio. Now, let me tell you, when we bought the stock, it had a dividend yield of over 4%. We bought the stock in March of this year. Now, this is in the income portfolio. This is in the portfolio that competes with the bond market, which is up 1% this year. This is our income and growth portfolio, which I said at the beginning of the year, I would rather own a tightly managed group of dividend-paying stocks like ABV and Boeing. And by the way, ABV with this move today, what's the price on ABV today? $98.50.
In March, it was around $66.
We're up 50% since March. Not only did we capture that 4% dividend yield, but we've got 50%. Now, this doesn't include the dividend yield. We've got another 50% in capital appreciation. So don't go buying Bitcoin. Don't take out the HELOC on the home and buy Bitcoin. Please don't do that. Listen.
Gosh, I heard that news that's what people are doing, and that blows
horrible.
My mind.
Okay, and don't go buying into the bond market, which I think will have negative returns. It has almost flat returns this year. Instead, I would continue to focus for now. The market is not without risk, obviously, but tightly managed, big blue chip companies, the cream of the crop that America and other countries around the world have to offer, dividend payers. You know, overall on a portfolio like that, you're going to get about 2% dividend yield, but the rest of that's going to come from capital appreciation. And this portfolio overall, since the beginning of the year, before my fees, is up 16.4%. It's very steady as she goes type of a portfolio, the highest of high quality that I can find. No guarantees going forward. But as we begin and start to roll the calendar over to a new year, I believe that dividend-paying stocks, a tightly managed portfolio, and I'm not talking GE, and I'm not talking IBM and stocks of yesteryear. I'm talking about growth stocks like AbbVie and Boeing and Airbus and others like that. AbbVie, still, in my book, in fact, how much upside potential? What is my five-year target price on ABBV, a $156 billion company? We're up 50% so far on this stock. What is my five-year target price on that thing?
162.
Exactly, 162, which gives it 89% upside potential over the next 5 years. Now, we look at it every single day. There's no guarantees. But based on the numbers that are out there today, 15% growth rate, $6.56 in earnings, $162 target price, this is the kind of upside potential that AbbVie still has. And even today, after the big, big run-up that the stock has had, the dividend yield right now is at 2.9% still. So, you know, the stock still looks good. It's still one of the components in our growth and income portfolio. And AbbVie right now trading at $98.56. But what really catches my eye there is the breakout today, the fresh new breakout in the stock. All right, well, we're running out of time here. We're down to our final minute. Here's what I've got to say in the final minute. It's time to get positioned for 2018. It's time to get away from the basic asset allocation that everybody else offers out there. It's time to get away from being passive, and it's time to be active. This is going to be another active year. You're going to have to be in the right areas of the market. Valuation is becoming much more critical in the market than ever before. We'll be doing the newsletter on Friday. We've been opening a lot of new accounts. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST or go to our website at Gunderson Capital Management. That's Gunderson Capital Management. And get on board with the Gundersons in Carlsbad, California. Steven, it's been fun. You hold down the fort. And I'm going through the database.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.